Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, before we go to Dan, let me get this out. Bob. Now, Bob, before, wouldn't stop using charcoal all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he never cleans his grill. Never.
It's seasoned.
Yeah. Ugh. And it set your entire deck on fire, didn't it?
Twice.
Jesus Christ.
Happened twice.
Twice now.
So I had an ember fall out of the bottom of the grill, set the deck on fire, and it burned all the way down one piece of wood, stopped at the house. It burned like half a piece of wood, the length of the deck, maybe, you know.
But he's talking about the 2x8s, the 2x6s.
Yeah, and I didn't know it till the next morning. I go out and I see this huge chunk of wood burned out. I'm like, that could have been bad.
Yeah, it just happened to stop burning.
It just didn't catch.
Conflagrate underneath. By the way, underneath the deck? What do you keep under there, Bob?
There's nothing under there.
Firewood?
Oh, yeah, firewood.
So. And that.
What do you mean there's nothing under there? There's a cord of goddamn firewood under there, Bob. Oh, and he doesn't have a tall deck. The deck, the wood touches the deck.
Mm-hmm.
It's only like one of those little, like a 5-footers.
Right. Well, actually, that's happened twice. The other time, the same thing, you know, a grill ember. Now, I don't have a charcoal grill anymore, so at least that danger has been eliminated. But a grill ember landed on the deck afterward. Set the piece of wood on fire. The wood's burning down. Caitlin comes downstairs. She goes, "Hey, Baba, deck's on fire." I'm like, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, the deck. There's a fire going on the deck right now." I'm like, "Thank you, Caitlin." We'll deal with that. So went and put out the deck again. So I've replaced a few of those boards on the deck a couple times.
Baba's going to go grab the hose.
If only you had a friend who told you years ago and had to blow up your old grill to try to give you a gas grill.
Well, now I have one of those Traegers, which is freaking awesome. One of the best inventions of all time. So,
by the way, this is how you know your friends get old. I have to listen to how great his Traeger egg thing is.
Yeah, I got
to
hear about this, too.
The egg is old school. That's history. That is so, like, 10 years ago.
Yes.
The Traeger is the deal. I smoked some chicken legs last night, man. Woo! Hello.
Wow. So, thanks, Andy Griffith. Jesus.
Born May 17th in Idaho. A graduate of Gonzaga University with a degree in psychology, he worked as a family counselor before making the move to stand-up comedy. You've seen him on The Tonight Show, Conan, and Last Comic Standing. You've seen his comedy specials, Revenge is Near, Crazy with a capital F, Don't Wake the Bear, and Maybe I'm the Problem, and you can hear his podcast every week at timesuckpodcast.com. Please welcome longtime friend of the show, comedian Dan Cummins.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Cummins.
Man, Bob, gotta be more careful.
Oh my God, he's like the Andy Griffith of Overland Park. He really is. He just it's unbelievable. It's weird because when I met him, he would still dabble in drugs and party, and we ran around on motorcycles, and he was single, and now he's married, and he's just trying to get a kid in college, and he's burning his own deck down, and he's enamored of a grill, and he has a dent in his couch that's his couch because that's his body shape in his couch.
Wow, that sounds like a good life goal, actually. You get enough time in the couch where you can get your own body shape dent in there. I like that.
God, I just can't take it. I don't want it. I don't want to be a part of it. I'd rather be with you. I'd rather listen to your transcripts on killing, the diatribe on life. I was listening to a Time Suck the other day and was just truly, truly struck by how much effort and research and knowledge you have on every single subject.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, I definitely put some work in to try and get all the story right, and just fascinating stuff too. So I enjoy looking it up. Like, we just had Belle Gunness. That was just on Monday. That's just this week. And God, you know, she was somebody I didn't even know about maybe a year ago. And sometimes the old timey kind of true crime ones are the most fascinating to me, because they were able to commit such brazen crimes over and over again that you couldn't do now, just because, you know, criminology wasn't as developed then. Like, Belle Gunness got away with murder so many times, and insurance fraud. I mean, she made so much money off of murder. It's insane to me. And then just kept getting away with it. She got away with it. She never got caught.
It's crazy, all of this. And it's, I tell you what's terrifying is, and I had this idea, and I wanted to share it with you. I think it'd be an entertaining idea for Time Suck if you would do serial killer theater. Because I realized you can get all the transcript confessions of either the court case or the cop transcript.
Yeah.
And I think you could do a couple of ways. You could just do a theatric reading, which would be very entertaining, or you could not say who the serial killer was and read their confession to see if anybody could guess who the serial killer was.
It'd be a fun little game.
Well, you would be an incredible actor as a serial killer, and you have to have a partner to be the questioner, the person, the inquisitor. You're gonna need somebody to do that, and it's gotta be done terribly over dramatically theatrical. I mean, it could be incredible.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's great. Just trying. I mean, God, and there's so many of them out there. It could be tricky. Where that's what I'm amazed by. Like we just had O.J. Simpson suck, and I made some joke in there about he was the second most prolific stabbing murderer out of former NFL players, and then somebody corrected me and they're like, oh no, he was third. Like, there's so many, like, even that specific niche of people who have been drafted into the NFL and stabbed other human beings, he's no better than third on the list of people who have done it. There's Robert Rozier, and then there's the I-5 killer. It's like I was looking at female killers the other day. There's Arena Gaijimachuk. There we go.
There's a bunch you never hear about that you're like, man, there's a lot more serial killers than you and anybody's ever known about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bananas. Yeah, I mean, Belle, it's crazy how long she was able to be active. She had what's called she's kind of like H.H. Holmes. She had a murder farm, is what they called it, out in LaPorte, Indiana, after she was caught.
That's right.
And she just over and over, it's crazy how long they used to get to do things like that again before there was, you know, modern criminology. She just put out classified ads for dudes looking to kind of invest in her farm and, you know, hopefully be married to her and, you know, and be able to be a the owner or the co-owner of this big farm. And she would have them bring essentially a down payment out to her when she met them. She would get the down payment. She would poison them. She would put a hatchet in their head and feed them to her hogs. Just did that over and over and for like years.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a story going on in Kansas City right now, and I don't know how it's going to end up, but these two guys, cattle farmers, came to Kansas City to buy some cattle. They found, they've disappeared, and these were like big, strong guys. These were not small people. They've disappeared, and there's a guy who was in prison for selling someone else's cattle, now currently tied to the car that they had rented, the truck they had rented, that was found in a lot. So, you know, there's an obvious line there that you go, it looks like you know what happened. You don't know yet, but it sounds like the same kind of a story, right?
But he just messed up, or he did it in 2019 instead of the, 1904 or 1905.
Yeah.
It's like you can't pull that stuff off now. Now there's all kinds of records of, like, people's movements and, you know, and, like a rental car agreement and on and on. Ah, you got to. First step, if you want to commit crimes like that, is time machine. You got to get your hands on a time machine.
Well,
you got to go back at least 100 years.
Well, or
get away with that stuff.
I thought that the butcher baker Hansen, Robert Hansen, because he had the was that the guy that was in Alaska and didn't he have a plane and he could take him and drop him off?
Little Piper Cub.
Now see,
little Piper Cub. Yeah, exactly. He was and he did what a lot of these dirtbags do that helps them get away with things. Now he, you know, preyed on prostitutes. And also in Anchorage, like the women he was preying on, I mean, he was doing it in the 80s when there's this huge boom of people kind of like wild, wild west kind of with Anchorage, people coming in to work on like the oil pipeline. And he also did it in like the 70s. And so a lot of these, you know, like the police, they were looking for these women because people were coming and going out of Alaska all the time then. And yeah, he would fly them out. He would hire them. And then once they were in his car, he would take a gun out, and then he would tie him up, and then he would put him in his plane, and then he would fly him out to the remote Alaskan bush. He would let him go, and he would hunt them like they were an elk or something.
Wow. Well, the mob used to fly guys out over the desert and just push them out, you know, somewhere over the Mojave and let them drill in, and then realize, nobody's ever going to find that.
Right. It is crazy just how much murder has gone on just around the world, just in general. That's like a lot of these ones, you know, let's say it'll be, well, like Black Dahlia. That was a recent one, too.
Sure.
Like, okay, it's like just, you know, you're looking into like one murder. But then you get into the story and you realize, well, that was the one that became infamous from the area and got like a cool name attached and kind of got some buzz and notoriety and spread, you know, partly almost like marketing because it had like an interesting name. But then you dig into the story, you're like, oh, there was all kinds of people killed at the same time in that same area in a similar way.
Well, and that whole story reeks of some odd higher up in Hollywood, a true hatred of women. There's a creep, oh, sure. Like super psychotic. I mean, have you ever heard about the Black Dahlia?
A little
like
bit.
Like the things that happened to that poor girl. Like it's, I mean, it was by the book hatred.
Oh,
like
cut her in half.
Yeah, I mean, terrible, terrible, terrible stuff, man.
And they think there was a book that came out actually by this guy's son, this George Hodel Jr. was his doctor at the time, and out of all the suspects I looked at, he seems to be the one I really think probably did it. I mean, his son was a former LAPD or is a former LAPD detective now, and he thinks his dad did it. And you start it's an interesting. But again, yeah, it leads into this web of like police corruption, and there was mafia, you know, stuff going on in LA at the time, and there was, you know, like some certain like prostitution rings,
sure,
underground, these illegal abortion clinics. It was all kind of tied in the same thing, and there was this doctor that was performing these illegal abortions. Who, I think he did it.
Yeah. Well, how about BTK? How about the fact that you're talking about your father? His daughter wrote a book. You should get her for the podcast because yeah. I have so many questions I want to ask her. Like, because I feel so bad for her. Like when you read the transcripts from right. BTK and the things he did, like the reasoning behind it, the feelings he had, and you realize you grew up in the house with him. You called him dad. He hugged you on your birthday. Right. He never hurt you. You thought he was normal, like any other dad, right? But behind it all was this madman who, for years, would hide in people's houses, do terrible things to them, sadistically destroying human beings. And he was a deacon at a church. He worked for the scouts. He had a good job. He was a married guy. He has a kid. You have no idea. Imagine how crazy you would be inside your head if you found out your dad did stuff like that. Like, you wouldn't be that surprised, Nick, because you don't like your dad.
Right.
But my dad, it would surprise me greatly.
Right, because
you know?
He walked among everybody else.
Me too.
And then you'd wonder, what if it was genetic? What if it's inside you? That would be my other thought. Would be like,
that's
man, am I going to go crazy? Do I have that?
Right.
Well,
how do you trust again after that?
Mm-mm.
Well, and she went back. We talked about this once before. It may have been the People Investigate, but I can't remember exactly which interview it was in the last year. She's openly says by the end of this interview, yeah, well, I've managed to forgive him and I've gone back to see him. I'm like, bitch, what?
You're in some kind of mental denial. Just you don't have to realize what it is.
Like we were yelling at the TV going, how do you take that route? You're better than me.
Exactly. No,
I love the eyes of
like we all make mistakes, you know. Come on, you know, you're not perfect either. You spill a lot of food growing up, so you know, those who cast stones, black houses.
But time suck. I feel like you got to spread it out. It can't be all serial killers. It's too much. Like, it's too much information. Like, I find myself looking at stuff you talk about, and I'll get into it and I'll start to research, and I realize I don't want that much in my head. Like, so I click out of it because I go, I don't want that much information on that.
Yeah, no, I'm doing like Lost Technology is going to be this next one, like a little historical stuff. We just, you know, we bounce it around so it's not just all true crime. It's been kind
sex
of true
cults.
Crime heavy.
Sex cults. Let's get some sex cults. I enjoy a good sex cult.
Yes, cults are a lot of fun. Okay, I did just have a thought. When you're talking about forgiving, though, I also did the O.J. Simpson thing, and there was some quote of his recently about, like, oh, we don't talk about the murders anymore because, you know, that's history. We just agreed not to talk about anything negative. And, like, he still has a relationship with some of his kids. I'm like, how do you, like, they have to know he murdered Cole.
They don't want what happened to their mom.
Right.
Yeah, we don't talk about it.
You can't get past that.
No.
Like if my dad killed my mom, there's no scenario where down the road it's like, well, we just agreed not to talk about it anymore, and you know,
you want to be naked.
Can you imagine how nervous a kid would be on Father's Day as you hand him your gift? You're like, here you go, Dad.
I tried.
You like it real good?
Yeah. I would just want to get him a pair of gloves every year. Just a new pair of black gloves.
Was it fit or don't fit? Fit or don't fit? Which is funnier?
Right. I actually went back and looked at the video. What's crazy to me about that, like the craziest moment of that whole trial, is that the gloves do fit.
Sure.
Like, it's the worst acting job. It reminds me of like an infomercial when they're trying to demonstrate how superior their new thing is. And they're like, do you have trouble cutting carrots? And it just shows some jackass like he just can't get the knife to work on the carrot. I don't know what to do. It's a carrot cutter, $3,000. It's like that with OJ. It's like, do you have trouble getting gloves on? And then he's just like, I just can't get it. Well, yeah, you're not supposed to fist your way into a glove, you jackass.
Yeah, you can't spread your hands as wide as you can and then try to put a glove on and then go, I don't know how it doesn't work. I know.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's like not unbuttoning your pants and then trying to get them on. You know what I mean? Like, you just like, it doesn't work that way, Captain. Exactly. Come on. But listen, this is not only you. This is not just Time Suck. Dan Cummins is a renaissance man. He's also got a new special, Maybe I'm the Problem, on iTunes, Amazon right now. Well, you can get it right now, and it covers a lot of comedy. This is to me, is interesting. I can't wait to see how the next couple of specials come out with you, because we're always a product of what we uptake, right? Like, everything that we download is going to show up somewhere in our psyche, and so I want to see how this affects you.
Yeah, well, I'm recording a new special in Detroit in October. So, it's a little, you know, it's weird. We talk about so many things on Time Suck. It's definitely more information heavy. I mean, I think it's based on the crowd, you know, like the funniest stuff, too. But it's definitely more outrageous, where it's nice to have, like, I have this audience with Time Suck who will kind of, you know, they'll allow me to talk about anything and allow me to talk about any subject, no matter how dark or weird or whatever, and also in a very, like, graphic or you know, raw way, and that's translated to stage. Where sometimes I see people now. There's more fans than ever in the crowd, but also I do notice that people who have no idea what they're getting into and just come to a comedy show to see me are definitely more shocked than they would have been. Like, I forget how horrific some of the things I say are. Like, I'm so jaded. I don't know where the line is.
Exactly. Anymore. That's exactly it. Well, and I think, by the way, I've been really fascinated by quackery again lately, like the medical devices from the what are they called, the violet ray that came out of Chicago. There was those glass tubes that were hooked to that incredible voltage, and then it had like argon gas, I think, inside it. I don't know if it was argon. It was it would spark, you know, it would shoot little lightning out, and everything had a different shape. So it was for your hair, or your nose, or your tummy, or your butthole, or your vagina. But it was all the same exact thing, only a different shape of a glass piece that was clear and like a bulb, but it would have purple lightning in it. That was great. You know, I have a hand crank Victorian era vibrator.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah. And all this crazy stuff, like, you know, up in Glore Psychiatric Museum, all of the lobotomy sticks, where they poke it through your occipital region, you know, right at the corner of your eyeball, or trepanization, where they crack open a hole in your head to let the pressure and the spirits out. They drill a hole in the top of your head in England. They're still doing that.
Wow.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm sure every once in a while you run into people, you know, where you're talking about it, and then you're like, oh, wait, this is way past their normal conversation kind of fodder area.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, you just get so used to talking about all this crazy stuff. Albert Fish, I don't know if I talked to you about him. He's one of the
27 needles
guys I've ever researched.
27 needles.
And, right, all those needles, like, he pushed into his tank.
Mm-hmm.
And he ate so much, you know, feces. Like, he called it peanut butter, and he wanted to lick it straight from the source. He just licked people's, you know, juices. And I'll just talk about that casually sometimes, and then just see, like, a horrified look. I'm like, oh, yeah, not everyone is used to talking about eating poop.
That's more of a German tour. That's more of like a tour in Germany, I would say.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah, so that fetish is a little more common. But, yeah, I'm just like you that way. I'm just fascinated with the fringe.
Yeah, you know, of course.
People who have just done the strangest things in their lives, and, you know, like built like that, like those things you have, where you know, somebody made that. Somebody made all those glass tubes. Like, they were that dedicated to that.
Yeah. Well, the hand crank vibrator makes sense to me. Women would orgasm because it cured their melancholy. If you look at the old ads for the Victorian era stuff, like, is your girl melancholy? She seemed down. Send her to Dr. So-and-so, Dr. Makara. And he used to digitally do it. Yeah. They'd have like a little, it almost looked like a theater box around their hips. Like they'd be draped real nice. They have a whole
wow.
structure. And then she'd still have her clothes on, but he'd be elbow deep in Nana. Mm-hmm. And he's like, boogity, 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 boogity. And then she'd be all super happy. So the guy's basically sending her to the doctor. She doesn't have to feel guilt because it's a doctor. Mm-hmm. She gets an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She no longer is melancholy.
I'd like a diddle doctor.
Yeah. Wow. Who doesn't want a diddle doctor?
I'm fascinated with that stuff too, with like sexual norms.
Sure.
Where like that would obviously be like outrageous malpractice now. Like, you know, it'd be like sexual assault now. But that was like a common medical thing. And it's funny, like whatever our sexual norms are, you know, people forget how subjective it is. How we just basically make all this stuff up.
Yeah.
All of what we think is acceptable, all that we think is proper, it's all arbitrary and all made up. And
yeah.
You know, one thing that's normal to us could be horrific for another culture and vice versa. I remember studying sexual norms a long time ago in college. And I was like looking up stuff on like the most outrageous sexual practices, you know, for our culture.
Mm.
And then it was some tribe in Africa, and I can't remember the name of the tribe, but when men or boys would reach like pubescent age, they thought that they had to be inseminated themselves so their seed would be fertile. Like they had to have somebody
like kickstart them.
Right, exactly. And in this tribe, the norm was your uncle would take you out into the and sodomize you for a couple of weeks so that your stuff would work.
So you'd be all full.
And just like, yeah, fill your tank up.
Like a pest dispenser?
I believe they call that on the internet a dick starter.
But like, that would be like, obviously not kosher over here. For
Jesus
reason.
Christ,
but over
man.
There, it's like, yeah, how else are you supposed to get somebody pregnant if you don't have your uncle?
Yeah, and I feel like somebody gives the other older guys the wink-wink when they're telling the kid that. They're like, no, this is how you become a man. He looks at the other guys who are older like, wink-wink. They're all like, uh-huh. Yeah, that's right, Timmy. That's how it happens. So go on. Get in the jungle. Take the coconuts. Yeah. I always wonder where fetishes come from, Dan. I always, like, that there's a certain sexual moment you have in your life, and there's and I don't know what age it is necessarily. It's a young age. Something happens, and then suddenly that becomes your fetish. So it could be bondage or baby talk or poop or whatever. Like,
sure.
I don't think I ever formed a fetish per se. I mean, because mine feel normal, like the normal perversion. I'm a general degenerate. Like, you want to see a girl with a dildo or two chicks at the same time, and you try to talk your girlfriend out of some anal or whatever. But that's kind of where it stops. I don't have a weirder deal. And I'm not ashamed of anything. Like, I'm like, I figure if you're, you know, that's the way you are, that's the way you are. But I'm so lucky. It's not like I got to smell your shoe or, I got to.
Oh, yeah.
Awful.
I mean, I think about that too. Like, oh man, so lucky. I mean, the closest I have is pinup. I don't know why. Like,
yeah, pinups are hot.
I really like the pinup look.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, like my favorite look by far, just like that kind of like lingerie, but like 1940s, 1950s look. But I have no idea why. I mean, I don't remember, jerking to any of that stuff when I was a kid. I didn't find some weird old 1940s magazine. But I think the same thing. We're like, yeah, what if you needed? What if you needed to eat some peanut butter?
Yeah, well,
off the press.
Oh, so awful. Fetishes are like, and again, everything is fine, and I'm all for whatever, imagination expanding, whatever. That's fun, right? But I always feel bad for the dudes. Girls, if they have a fetish, there's always a guy to accommodate. It's, everybody goes, oh, isn't she open and thoughtful and imaginative, and is she great? And if you're a dude with that problem, you're like, I hate me. I'm a terrible, weird creep. It's
right.
I mean,
for like a unattractive guy, for an unattractive guy to have a really weird fetish, it's like, whoa, you better be rich, buddy.
Yes,
you better make some real money.
Yeah, because a girl masturbates and a guy walks in and everybody goes, oh, that is so hot, my God, look at her, this is amazing. A chick walks in and she's like, you are a gross, angry, weird ape.
True. Like a lot of women, like one of their worst nightmares would be to like be walking home and then there's a dude just jerking in the bushes.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, what's happening? But, like, if I walked home and there was a chick just DJing in the bushes, I'd be like, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I know, man. And she wouldn't even have to be great looking. I'd still spend, even if she was unattractive,
like,
I'd go,
good for you.
I'm going to watch for a minute. Huh, how about that?
Right.
I might not be super turned on, but I'd still watch.
Yeah, that's awesome. There was, when I went to college, there was a Foley Library on campus. And they never caught this guy, but he was, like, known. Like, the police looked for him and everything. It was the Foley Masturbator. And it was just some dude who kept showing up in the library. And then, you know, people, women would, like, look through the books into the next row of books. And he'd be over there, you know, just cranking away.
And, you know, like, so weird. So weird.
We were horrified. But if there was, like, if that would have been a woman, that's like, yeah, I would have been at the library
yes.
all the time. Like,
yes.
Please let me see her.
Oh, of course.
Please let her be here today.
Yeah, well, it's like those guys with the upskirt. I'm like, everybody knows a selfie is a terrible thing from below. Like, it's just never a good look. Even if you want to see a girl's vagina that much, like, thighs always look chubby. Everything's weird. It's almost always in a toilet, which makes it double down. And it just, I'm like, what happened to you that you can only get? And if you realize, he must have been really young, like he was little, right? And he looked up somebody's skirt when he was a kid, a baby. And that was how the fetish started. Now he can only, if he doesn't have the little kid view, he can't get it on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, that does make sense to me, where at a certain point in your life, I mean, when I was a kid, I saw a neighbor lady through her window take a shower
mm-hmm.
at an angle. And that voyeurism, still hot to me. It's the thought of, like, watching somebody naked.
Oh, sure.
Now, I'm not gonna take it to jerk in the bushes level, but there's a part of my brain that's like, I get that. I can see a feel.
Oh, dude.
I can see a feel of hiding out.
I was in Manhattan this last Christmas or Thanksgiving. The snowstorm hit Baltimore, and we had to stop and stay an extra day. So we switched hotels to a very narrow street, and I suddenly go, Sassy? I go, come here. One floor down, right across. Lights on. The guy lived there. It wasn't even a hotel. It was his place.
Oh, yeah.
And they're getting it on in the kitchen. They're getting it on in the living room. And they're both. And this is what was crazy. They were good-looking people. They were in shape.
Happens.
You never get that. Never. We turned our lights up. We must have watched them for 15 minutes. We're like, this is awesome.
Oh, that's a great show.
Yeah.
That's a great show. And you know that they wanted you to see it. That's exhibitionism. They're leaving all the blinds open, got the lights on.
No, oh.
They were putting on that show.
He scooped her off the stool and, like, was holding her up in the air with his, you know, arms under her legs. Like, I mean, who does that in real? Like, you don't really, you know, unless you're making a movie or you just met each other. But it's been a few years since I've tried to, you know, that kind of silliness. Because you really want that anyway.
No, I don't want to icy hot your back later. It's not as sexy then.
Like, I believe that we're just, you know, animals at the end of the day, you know, I look at that kind of stuff. It's like, oh man, good for them. Like they're free. They're not as worried.
Sure.
Like, like I remember in Santa Monica when I lived there a couple different times, I would see this, this homeless guy, just openly jerking it on, like, facing the street. Like he just didn't care. Like he's probably, I'm sure, working with some mental illness, but he was just right there, middle of the day, openly just, you know, just letting traffic see. And there was, you know, small part of me was like, oh, that's sad. He's probably dealing with some stuff. But another part of me that was like, oh, he's free.
Let me tell you, freedom can be too much. My dog is too free. Lulu, the little girl dog, that little dog's too free. Because the other day, Sassy Von Fancy Pants is petting her on the couch. And she's really into it. Like, really, like, oh, my God, I love being petted. She's scratching her chest. And she's petting her ears, scratching her ears, and Lulu's in such a good place. And then she turns around and looks down beside her leg, which she hadn't noticed before. And my other dog, Barger, is just rimming her, just like blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, you got a three-way. Like, that's too much.
And isn't there a party that's like, oh, man, I wish I could just live by those impulses. like a dog where you just... You're just feeling horny. You're just like, yeah. Let me just go hum something. I don't care who watches.
Yeah.
You know, if I go to the bathroom, let me just drop it right here. Just I love how my dogs when they poop will look me right in the eye. Like, they'll maintain eye contact like the whole time they're doing it. But, like, there's no shame. They're just like, yeah, feels great.
Oh.
It's out there right now.
Yeah. And you know what? As a guy with 30 acres of land, I assure you, sometimes outside like that is nice. And I plan on, if anybody ever walks upon me, making eye contact and not looking away.
Power move. That's an alpha move.
That's right. I'm not going to jump up and be ashamed. Be like, whoa, I'm sorry, I had to go to the bathroom. I'm just going to eye lock it.
Mm-hmm.
What's up? Hey, Jim. What's up, neighbor Jim? Yep.
That's what I think, even about, you know, going back to, like, the murders and stuff, you know, it's crazy where, obviously, these people are messed up, but they're also just, it's just like that basic human animalistic nature. It's like that, I want this, and this person's going to have to die for me to get, but like, or this person's in the way, like with bells, like, I want this money, and this person is my means to getting this money. It's just, those things remind me, too, that, man, we're monkeys in clothes.
Well, that's it. And sometimes there's a conscience and sometimes there's not. And I do believe we inherently know as we're born what's good and bad, what's wrong and right. And then there's another part that maybe you just decide, I don't care about that anymore. And you're able to shuffle it off. And those guys, those sociopaths and psychopaths can just throw it away. And then somehow they retrain their brain to go, it's because I'm better, smarter, and I deserve more than them.
Exactly, man. Rationalization. Some people are so good at it. That I think we want to think that these people in their private moments are feeling terrible about themselves, and they're laying, in their bed at night thinking, oh, man, I'm such a horrible person. How could I have done that? No. They've got it all rationalized in their head, and they've made their peace, and they're like, oh, yeah, these women, they didn't want to get killed. They shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have been in this business, or they shouldn't have done this. If these guys, they were greedy coming to try and take my farm. That's why I had to feed them to the hogs.
That's it, yeah. If that cow didn't want me to kill it and eat it, it shouldn't have made its beef taste so good.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's it. We all do it.
It makes for a lot of conversation.
Well, listen, I could do this all day, but everybody, you guys can get it at the Time Suck Podcast. TimeSuckPodcast.com. TimeSuckPodcast.com. It doesn't matter if you haven't heard the old ones. You can go back and you can hear them. Everything's in the library. Go back and start at the beginning or just look for a subject you like and die. And it's always fun, man. If you got some time in your car, whatever, it's always a good time, man. And don't forget iTunes, Amazon, Maybe I'm the Problem, Dan Cummins. Cummins. Yes, brother. Go on.
Oh, thanks, Johnny. I appreciate it, man. And you know, I'll let you know soon. We're launching a new, totally new podcast, too, that's all paranormal horror.
Awesome.
Horror stories every single week. And I'm telling my wife the stories this time. It's not just me. We're recording in a new studio in a dark room with all these occulty things surrounding us. She doesn't know what the story is. And my goal every week is just to see how much I can scare her.
Man, you should do one in Jefferson City, Missouri at the prison. And, you know, they still have the gas chamber. You can stay all night. And I'll bet you with a little bit of talk to their media department, who we know, you could do and you could record a time suck in the Jefferson City prison. It was called the bloodiest, some, I don't know, 100 and some acres side of the Mississippi because of all the murders and the riots and everything that happened.
Yeah.
And it's they literally still have the prison open. You can take tours. You can even spend the night.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, that's the kind of stuff we want to, you know, if it goes well, try and do down the road with this new one. It's going to be called Scared to Death. But, that makes that stuff so much scarier. Like a lot of people be like, oh, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in this. And I can be like that during the day. But then you put me in a place like that in the middle of the night, I start hearing some things. And I start questioning my beliefs.
Yeah. Well, listen, 40 men and women were executed at this property. They had 168 years. It was open. 100 years older than Alcatraz and the bloodiest 47 acres in the U.S. And then up the road, St. Joe, the Glore Psychiatric Museum, which you can also spend the night. You could record in both of those places. I've not spent the night. I've toured it a couple times, and it's really great. If mental illness is one of the most frightening things in the world to me because you have no control over it, and you don't know that you're sick a lot of times. And so it, to me, is a fascinating, kind of terrifying thing. And the things they did, and they've got all the old ways that they would put them in a dunk them in cold water or do things to shock them out of their psychotic moment. And obviously that doesn't work, but they'd strap you down and then jam a needle through the corner of your eye and scramble your frontal lobe some indiscriminate amount so that women would be more malleable. Like if does your wife have hysteria? She yell and stuff? Well, hold on. Dr. So-and-so's coming by your house to poke it out of her.
Dr. Ice Pick McBrain Stabber is going to come
with that out of you. Yeah, right.
There, you can find these lists of reasons that people could be committed to psychiatric institutions online.
Yes.
Darkly hilarious. But there's like stuff like differing political opinions.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Like is a reason you could get somebody locked up. You know, like, I don't like their political leanings. let's get them in there. But like just things. But yeah, you're right. It was just basically women who didn't want to just do what they were told. You could just commit them.
Oh yeah, or sometimes they just call them like morons. They'd be like, "You're an idiot. So you had to go."
Imagine Mike would hit print and just put, like stab it to my chest and walk me in with a list.
Listen, here, I'll run a list. Reasons for admission, the West Virginia Hospital for the Insane. Things like asthma, bad company, bad whiskey, bite of a rattlesnake, brain fever, business nerves. I don't know what business nerves are, but you could have diphtheria or decoyed into the army. Deranged masturbation could get you thrown in there. Desertion by husband. You could get in there for disappointed love or affection, a dog bite, domestic trouble, dropsy, egotism, explosion of a shell nearby. Oh, it just goes and goes and goes, man.
It's like 10.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Trouble. That's so vague. That's so many things. Like, what? Why are you putting here? Just having some domestic trouble. Sure. Doesn't even let me put a finger in it. You know?
Dude, I think that happened a lot. I think a lot of, instead of getting a divorce, the old lady went to the kooky farm.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, the good old days. The good old days, man. When you didn't have to give half and you looked like the guy who really cared. And in fact, people go, "I am so sorry your wife went crazy. I know it's a bad deal, man, but that's just the way the cards are dealt."
Gosh, man, 8 in a row. What kind of luck is that? 8 in a row.
It's true.
As soon as they reach the old age of 25, it's crazy, you know? They just keep losing it, and I got to get another 18-year-old. I got bad luck again.
Man, I tell you what you got to do, son. You got to get them before they form opinions.
Right. Oh, my God. Crazy that was real life for so long.
Yep. All right. Well, listen, anytime you're welcome here, man. Get back to Kansas City. Let's go out to the Disgrace Land and throw some stuff around.
I love it. Thanks for letting me talk to you, man. Always. Love chatting.
All right, brother. Stay there, Dan. The great Dan Cummins. Don't forget, Dan Cummins, finest time suck. It's called Time Suck Podcast. Hail Nimrod.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.